All right, friends, it's a Friday mailbag show of sorts where we address the topic of the looming deadline. Do the Brooklyn Nets need to be making moves? Are fans done with Nicholas Claxton? Does he have value? Is Joe Harris a total piece of garbage that the Nets don't even want and shouldn't have re-signed? Oh, Dougster, we'll debunk a lot of these myths and really reframe how Brooklyn Nets fans should be looking at this season, the deadline, and of course, the playoff road ahead.
Oh man, it was so hot take you right out of the gate. I love it. The show is the opposite of the hot take culture here, but Adam really spiced it up to begin with. Yeah, no, but this is a great conversation. I think it really takes a look at a macro level, sort of like where we as Nets folks need to be thinking about this team and thinking about trade season and kind of how we get into it. We're going to talk about it all, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. It's the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Where, of course, I am Adam Armbrecht covering the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast with my boy, Andy Mack. He's Doug Norrie, owner-operator, DFSR, all your daily fantasy sports rankings, FanDuel, DraftKings. He's got you covered. I've got you covered with a clear, crisp voice as we come in on a Friday episode. Going to break down a little bit of speculation stuff. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms. Doug, how are you doing as I just come to grips with using my words and mouth and brain?
Yeah, man, really good. We're entering like a pretty interesting time here for the Nets over these next, 6 weeks or so, 6 to 8 weeks without Durant. I think there's a chance this team looks the same or looks different. I know we're going to talk about some of this kind of speculation around who might or might not be on the team by the time we hit season's end. And as we sit a few weeks still to go till the trade deadline, like the stuff just starts heating up from here. And I think it's going to be a pretty interesting trade deadline and the Nets could be involved.
Yeah, and that's we said before that we're not one for huge speculation swings around the Brooklyn Nets should trade for Dame Lillard. Let's make it happen, right? And dive in on those talks. But I think there are real world thoughts you can have around what's different from the start of the season for the Brooklyn Nets versus where they are now, and maybe areas that they can improve this team. So let's just start with, as it stands right now, when you look at the Brooklyn Nets, do you think that they should be active and willing to engage at the trade deadline, understanding that they do have, I think, three total TPEs, but those can extend beyond this season and into the offseason. So they don't have to necessarily utilize those. And there's also restrictions around which players fall inside of that and what their value is, etc. But do you feel like the team should be interested in making a trade here to add something to this team, or that stemming the tide and waiting for Durant to get healthy is still the most prudent path forward for this team?
So the boring answer is you should always be open to any deal that's good, right? So that's I know that's the boring, like vanilla, doesn't really say anything answer, but the obvious thing is you should be open to any scenario that presents itself that makes it so that you can upgrade for the season, because you're in a championship window. And if you are in that window, like, the stakes are just different. So you should be willing to mortgage some parts of your future in order to upgrade if it's possible. The better question is, like, well, not the better question, but maybe the more relevant question is, will there even be that available for them based on like the teams that may or may not be selling? And they have so few pieces that are attractive, and this is what we're going to talk about here. There's so few pieces that are attractive probably to other teams that I just think the options are going to be pretty limited. So the answer is yes, and my guess is, like, it just doesn't come together, but we'll talk about some of these scenarios because I think there are some that are, like, reasonable. I mean, the big one's Claxton, right? And I know we're going to go there next probably.
No, and that's a big part of this too is, and you've mentioned this in some of the past episodes around when you look at the Eastern Conference specifically, right? We talk about the Nets and the playoff picture and everything else. A lot of these teams are going to be competing. And now with the play-in games, there's less and less teams that fall into this pool of, well, we're out of it. I mean, for crying out loud, the Portland Trailblazers that everyone's been talking about, you got to get Dame out of there, move McCollum. This thing's all coming apart. They're in the 10th spot. They're actually in a play-in game right now, as disastrous as everyone thinks things are. And that doesn't mean that they might not be more willing than other teams in the playoff picture to make some moves when it comes to the deadline. But that's how you shrink it down to this finite group of teams. And then you add in the layer of financial flexibility. And then do they have the guys that you're after? So there's a lot of layers to making these things possible. But you mentioned Nick Claxton. Let's start with him there, because he is probably, I think, from a young player level, future level, and also from the Nets side of it, a guy that has value on the market and is also theoretically someone that the Brooklyn Nets are not going to be re-signing in this offseason. He's up for a new contract. And if that's the case, it would make sense to say, where can we go with him now? What can we get for him now? It may not be the big needle mover in terms of improving this team in a dramatic way, but it makes sense to get more value now. And I think the subplot to this is the emergence of De'Ron Sharpe and however we assess his value over the course of these last 10 games.
Yeah. So, okay. So Claxton is entering restricted free agency this summer. And you know, the important thing to know about that is that he is a free agent, but the Nets have the ability to match any offer. Right. And so like, that's where the Nets have, you know, they can come first, or they can come first and just resign them, or they can, if someone else wants to put in a qualifying offer, the Nets can just match it. And like, they have the right to do that. And they always have the ability to just pay a little bit more than anybody else. Okay. So they are first in line for Claxton when it comes to paying. Now, the question with all this is like, are they willing to pay? They're already well into the tax. We already know sort of where this money is with them at this point in the tax. And every dollar is not one for one a dollar. Like, every dollar is like four times the dollar or something like right. that. I don't have the number exactly in front of me, but this is where Nets fans and folks, like, this is why Nick Claxton, we bring him up first, is because Nick Claxton's name gets floated out there. Like, and it came up, Brian Windhorst talked about it this week. Jake Fisher talked about it this week, that the Nets had sort of entered some dialogue feeler. They're in the feeler territory of trading Nick Claxton. And it's not surprising. They kind of floated him out there. There was rumors that they floated him out there during the draft last year, right? So like, it's not so surprising that you would at least think about it with him, but they are in just this super tricky spot because he's one of the few like good, well, I take it back, it's changed a little bit. He's a young talent that clearly has NBA ready skills now. Mm-hmm. He's also missed tons of time. We have never gotten like a really strong, awesome run out of Nick Claxton in the years that he's been on the team. And there could be a situation within the team that says, hey, like, we've really been trying with this guy, but it's just not working on a consistent enough level. Like, he's played 67 total games in the two plus seasons that he's been with the Nets. That's nothing, right? Like, he's played less than a full season in 2.5 years. And so
he's just following the lead of the superstars in games in, games out. He goes, I can't a full boat here. What do you want from me?
Yeah, fair enough. they're really at this. This is a very interesting crossroads from him. I've stopped short of giving my opinion on this yet, but I'm trying to lay the foundation for why this Claxton thing could become a very polarizing moment for the Nets here, because it's really going to speak to a few different paths that they're walking down now. And I have this feeling that it could kind of like go belly up on them in some weird way. But anyway, like, does that make sense? Like, this is like, they're just, it's complicated. It's like, it's not as easy as saying, should they trade Nick Claxton? Like, yeah, like, no. Someone offered someone great back, that you should, but it's weird. The money, like, all these things are they struggle to kind of line up.
Well, and that's the thing that we're not going to, the speculative stuff we're not going to get into this episode, because we've seen some of this from fans, is like, well, what about in the offseason and what's going to happen with Harden or what's going to happen with Kyrie? You can't look that far into the future about it. And I don't think the Nets can either. So the idea is, well, if you're all in on what you want to accomplish this season, Nicholas Claxton making $1.7 million and being a very versatile defender is a great piece to have on this roster. But is there an opportunity out there that says, we can make ourselves stronger and avoid the potential of seeing Nicholas Claxton in the offseason get an offer sheet? The Nets go, even if we wanted to, the dollar for dollar is not equal and we can't afford to. And effectively, you see a young talent leave for nothing. It doesn't matter as much when you're one of these teams looking for a championship. I think you sustain these losses and move forward without it. But the Nets and Sean Marks have not been an organization that falls prey to that very often. So you'd like to think they're going to make the smart choice before their decisions and options get kind of, you know, reduced down or taken off the table for them. So I want to get into one question around Nick Claxton's value before we kind of explore another player on the roster. And again, maybe a couple of fairly straightforward opportunities that the Nets potentially could explore. First, got to tell you that Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue the march in through the playoffs, the NFL. It's round number two. A lot of good matchups out there. The Bet Online remains, of course, the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and that means a new updated desktop and mobile device platform for you to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use that promo code LOCKEDON when you get started, and you get a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit when you sign up. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So the other factor, I think, is at the start of the year, you and I, and I think that most Nets fans would have said, De'Ron Sharp, nice prospect, got him in the draft, see how he develops. I don't think that there was this anticipation of him now playing multiple games in a row in the starting rotation for the Nets. What impact has not only his role on this team, but also how LaMarcus Aldridge has looked, right? Very short stint before retiring last year. When you look at those two players and what they present here, and I'll even extend it out, include Kessler Edwards, right? Include DeAndre Bembry. This is a new look to this team. Claxton is the familiar face back in the mix. Has his value in any way been reduced for the Brooklyn Nets when you look at the other pieces around?
No, not to me. I think only because like his archetype is just different than all those guys you just mentioned. And I don't see any one of those guys. Like, so while they can't share the court with each other too much, like the Claxton, De'Ron Sharp pairing, like probably wouldn't really work. I don't think, unless like one of them just kind of shifted what they were doing. So they want them just to be a way better passer, frankly. I don't think that part changes how I feel about Claxton, because I don't see any one of those guys as a one-to-one player swap in terms of what he can do, right? And so, So this is actually where I probably land with the Claxton thing. My default would be to not trade him short of something amazing, like surefire. And I don't even know what that would be. And I'm sure like as we get closer to the trade deadline, we'll talk about guys. My sense is that the teams that are selling right now, that the Nets could like get into a trade with, the surefire guys out there are pretty few and far between, right? Like, I think you'd be taking some kind of other risk on somebody else. So with that in mind, without going through all the scenarios, I would default to keeping him here. Maybe even just paying a lot to keep him, because this is the weird thing with Claxton. Again, we think of him as this super young guy, and he is. He's only 22. But he's been in the league so long now, but he's played so little that he's like still a rookie almost or something, but he's just not. Like, this is his third full season in the NBA. Well,
good. And you can also in that same breath talk yourself into he is what he is, right? What's he going to be? He's been in the league for three seasons.
I would go the opposite way. I would say we still don't even know what he can be. Like, I would actually.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Right. He's been in the league for 3 years, and then you go 62 games. Like, that's what you have to realize. He has not had the time to fully develop what he can be. And if you look at him from when he came in with the Nets to where he is today, you can see this exponential growth. And in theory, there's still more here. There's still muscle to be put onto this body, and then areas of his game to develop. We're agreeing on that piece.
Yeah, and things we already know about him. He's a phenomenal switch defender, right? Like he's among the very best in this class around big switching, like big perimeter switch defenders. We already know he can do that at like a close to elite level. If you can do one thing at an almost elite level, you're already, especially on this rookie contract, like you're already above your contract. Like on the minutes where you can actually play. Again, right. That's his problem. He cannot seem to stay on the court for a long enough time to like play all the minutes, but we already know he can do that. And so if you want to just assume that the next time he hits the court, it'll be all healthy from here on out. Again, that's a big assumption, but if you want to assume that, I think you then say to yourself, okay, then we just probably just need to keep him at this number for now. And we'll deal with the off season when it comes around, because otherwise you're just taking a huge risk. And with the hope that if he could just play like another half season, again, doesn't seem to ever happen, but like if he can just play another half season, we might begin to see even more of his game, because some of the other stuff has improved a little bit. Like he's been able to put the ball on the deck a little bit. He's been able to get to the rim a little better. He's been able to finish around the rim a lot better this season when he's actually played. There has been incremental growth on the other skills. And I think you just at this point have to risk it. Like and probably just pay it too. Again, short of some other surefire guy. And I don't even know who that guy is really that's on the trade market. The Nets could realistically get back. Like, so I think where I'm gonna land is do not trade him, because I think we just have to hope for the best on the other pieces and lean into the idea that he can just do a couple things in this team now that they do not actually don't have a functional replacement for, which is big switch defender on the perimeter.
Yeah, and by the way, I'll add into this that while right now Nicholas Claxton and De'Ron Sharpe on the court together would not work. Again, you're talking about two guys that are still developing. And there is this world where, depending on how De'Ron develops and what area, if he can start to create a little bit of a mid-range shot for himself, well, that looks different than even when we talk about Nicholas Claxton and LaMarcus Aldridge being on the floor together, because LaMarcus is just limited athletically at this stage of his career. So I do think that there is this is the weird piece, and we talked about this before. Young players on championship caliber teams usually aren't regarded as being both potentially important in the long term, but also valuable right now. That isn't usually how these things get constructed, and that's the weird spot that they're in. I've always been a fan of Claxton. My tendency would be to stick with him, and not unlike they've made these hard choices. Maybe you pay the extra money to keep him around and it ends up actually paying dividends short and long term. Going to get into one other guy.
Well,
here
real quick, let me say one more thing just before we hit this break. I will say one more thing. I have a feeling that if this season hadn't just been like a kind of gone off the rails for him health wise, like he was sick forever with whatever he had. And now he's got the injury now that's the hamstring. I forget what his injury is now.
I think so, yeah.
So whatever it is. I have this feeling that if this season had been fully healthy for him, I actually don't even think we'd be talking about it. Like, I just have this, like, if that makes sense. I think if this would be 35 games in for him, based on some of the stuff we were seeing already, when it was looking very good for him, I just have this feeling that like we wouldn't even be considering it because we just see him as a huge value. And maybe that's being super optimistic about it, but if looking through that lens on him, it would command such a great return from some other team. But I just still think that based on the number, based on everything else, like even the injury thing might mean they can get him at a lower number for next year. Because like, you know what I mean? I think there's lots of factors that go into this that to say I wouldn't do it. All right. I know we're going to talk about some other stuff here. Go ahead.
And it is hamstring. No, it's hamstring and questionable for the Friday night game against the Spurs. So short-term injury. And I agree with you. You haven't the sample size again, and maybe that's a part of how you analyze him, but the sample size has been relatively small on him to then pull the plug when, by the way, when healthy and on the court, he's been very dynamic.
There you go. All right. It's a new year. That means New Year's resolutions. And that means trying to get fit, trying to get healthy, trying to stay away from some of that food that can, pile on the calories, pile on the sugar. That is why you have to get into a Built Bar. It's a protein bar that tastes like the candy bars over there on that in the grocery store aisle, but it's better than a candy bar because it's actually healthy for you. It can help you stick to those resolutions to just eat better, to not reach for the junk that's just causing you to, you know, break those resolutions. Built Bar has you covered there. Stats to back it up: 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Oh, baby, popping with a protein. Compare that to the candy bar, just blows it away. Go over to the flavors too: peanut butter, brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie. They started with the flavors because they knew that would bring it in, but they knew they had the stats to back it up. You go to built.com to see what's new. Go to built.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
And of course, we tell you, make us your first listen. Make your second listen, Locked On Now podcast. It's all those local experts from around the Locked On Podcast Network breaking it down on all those local teams. You want insights about the upcoming matchup against the San Antonio Spurs? They've got you covered. Free on all the platforms. Be sure to take a look at that there. So then we're going to do this is a little bit of the what if scenario, because I do want to create an opportunity where we say, as valuable as we think Claxton can be, And then also as valuable as another player on the Brooklyn Nets roster is in our eyes, and I think generally around the league, is there a world where something could get done at this deadline that improves specifically the short-term chance for the Nets to get a championship inside of this window with these superstars? Willingness to trade Joe Harris. That's the first piece, because the only way that you make a move of any real substance, we know they have the 11 and change million dollar TPE as well as a lower level one, but there's some guys that go above that threshold. And the only way to accomplish that is to look at the roster and say, where do we have money? We have money in $17 million in Joe Harris. Do you have any willingness to move Joe?
Okay, so I'll couch it first in the thing that I said before, is that anything is possible. Yep. That if as long as it blows you away. He's the other one that it's been a weird season with him because the injuries, and he's got this other thing that factors more into other people's minds than it does for me, and I think you too, which is like the playoff performances left you a little cold over... Yep. The very limited sample size where he's been able to shoot three pointers in the playoffs. Okay. And I get that they've been some big misses on the big stage, and that does not bother me at all. And I know it really bothers other people. So and I know people have wanted to trade this guy before he got hurt, which I thought was just nuts. I am still of the mind that in the perfect scenario that you're creating for this Nets team, Joe Harris is like the exact guy you want. And I just don't see a world where I guess you can get a little less 3-point shooting and a little more defense. I really don't think a lot of those guys are available right now, because here's the newsflash: every team wants those guys. Every team.
Are the Brooklyn Nets not the only team that needs 3-and-D? I thought that was a very
unique
thing.
Like, everyone always just says we need another 3-and-D defender. It's like, hey, they're not just there's not just a piling up in the backyard and we'll just go grab one and bring it in. Like, these guys just don't come around because teams that have them. Yeah, like teams that have them do not let them go for the most part. Right. And some of them get swapped around because on these like weird contracts, like Jay Crowder, like we'll just get re-signed every year for the same number or whatever, because like,
that's always just, be like, valuable every year.
Exactly. And always be valuable. And so, and then like guys like Mikal Bridges or whatever, these are guys that people always use as the examples, will just get signed to a big number that you're like, whoa, like, well, that's a lot of money for his skill set. But it's like, yeah, it's really, really important in the most important minutes you can play in the championship. And so I just don't think with Harris, that you're just bringing in at age 30 with the money he makes. I just don't see how that one, how it upgrades you. I in a realistic manner, I don't think he's, because a rebuilding team does not want a 30-year-old sharp shooting three-point shooter. That's not that enticing to a rebuilding team because he's too old. And you know, maybe you pile him with some like younger stuff to make the money work, and you throw into like the last remaining picks that you have from the Harden that you didn't ship off with Harden, and you throw Claxton. Like, maybe there is a world, but I still have the mind, and comment on YouTube if you want to, but I'm still of the mind that Joe Harris is like an incredibly valuable piece to this team. And there's a certain section of Nets folks that have written him off, and that is wrong. And so I am going to say that this roster was nearly perfectly constructed at the beginning of this season. It's gone 100% off the rails because of all the other BS that's happened here.
Which is incredibly fair to say.
But like, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Like, I get it. But like, if like just 50% of the crazy BS that's happened to this team already had not happened, like, we wouldn't even be talking about this, because they would just be storming through the NBA right now. Right. Like, the Vax thing wasn't a thing. If KD wasn't hurt, if Harris doesn't get hurt, even for a percentage of this part, like, I don't think we'd even be discussing it, because they would be putting up like historic levels of offense. But we're just in this weird spot that they're not. So, and like, I just think I said it before the season, and I still stand by this, and I'll be done with this filibuster. Like, I said before the season, it was probably like 3 days before the freaking Vax mandate came out, and like, we just found out that Kyrie couldn't play. But I was like, this team doesn't have any weaknesses as they're presently constructed. And I stand by that original thesis, except that now we can't see it because all this other stuff has happened. But the original construction is just the team that would just honestly would just storm through the playoffs too. Like, you just wouldn't be, it'd be unstoppable. And those guys are all still part of that. And I just hold out hope that by the end of the season, they'll all still be there and they will just storm through the playoffs. So that's where I stand with like kind of keeping these guys.
One of the things that we've said is, you know, we've seen a lot of this floated around, speculation about offseason stuff and what's the best version of. Again, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving are prolific on the offensive end, unlike anything seen before. The fact that you haven't seen it a lot makes it hard to remember that that's the case. So I do tend to agree with you on that. Quick reminder, check out Locked On Bets with your boy Q and expert Lee Sterling. A lot of fun over there too. But I will paint one. I'll paint only one picture for you because I think you're right. And the difference would be the one thing that I would improve about this team, if you could, is the ability for the five, quote unquote, the bigs, to be able to be more impactful from the perimeter. If you think about this team in terms of surrounding the superstars with spacing and being effective, creating open shots and knocking open looks. Now, Joe Harris falls into that category, right, when the spacing is good. But are there more efficient ways to accomplish that? And would it improve other areas like rebounding as well? So if I told you, now the one thing you said before was, and this is actually something we just talk about in broad strokes, you said that a rebuilding team wouldn't want to take on Joe Harris's contract. I think the only pushback there is that a rebuilding team would be willing to, in the vein that Joe Harris this year, you're holding him, and next year you're trading him to a contending team that wants three-point shooting. So you
there's
can,
a world
you can,
right.
Right. You can create value in that way. And that's maybe that's a bit of a footnote. But the funny thing is when you talk about certain teams, so for example, the Indiana Pacers are looking to move a lot of their bodies. They don't want Joe Harris back at 30 years old making $17 million this year and then more going forward. They're not in total rebuild mode. They're kind of in this weird, can we reform or restructure ourselves? I don't know if that's entirely viable if you're a fan that wanted Turner or wanted Sabonis, et cetera. But the only trade I'll put on the table, which includes both of these guys, Nicholas Claxton, very excited about him, young player. Joe Harris, we know what his value is. If I told you that Joe Harris, Nicholas Claxton, and Paul Millsap could get you Christian Wood, David Nwaba, and Kenyon Martin Jr. as a money balancing books from the Rockets, this is really just about Christian Wood. Does Christian Wood and his three-point shooting as a big entice you as far as the impact it could have on this roster? If we both agree, love where De'Ron Sharpe is headed, don't know if you're going to love it all the time or if you can love it for more than 20 to 25 minutes a game. Love what Aldridge does, but obviously there's limitations there. And I'm not saying that, by the way, Christian was a perfect player. This is almost the perfect example to give because you're not getting back like the exact perfect piece to add into it. You're getting something that improves you and maybe makes your team a little bit, obviously, bigger and a little bit better at spacing and being more effective at every position as opposed to being shot heavy in specific spots. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I wouldn't do it for a couple reasons. So I wouldn't do it because I think still in our perfect construction of this team, which is the original version, where their spacing is just like the furthest thing from an issue for them. Like they can play like I'm going to use this as an example. So it takes like they could honestly play DeAndre Jordan there. Like he's terrible.
Go see the Chicago game, right? That's the example of what the spacing looks like.
It just wouldn't matter. Like it doesn't matter who that guy is. You don't need any more. Like when those guys are on the court, you just don't need any more spacing. The spacing is already solved. So I don't think I would do that from that point of view. I mean, just Christian Wood specifically, the defense is kind of disaster. He's already had one blow up on the team this year where he got suspended because like he didn't want to do something the coach did. That's just not. When I said like I want to bring in surefire guys, like that is still super speculative to me. Like that's too speculative.
Right, includes attitude and approach to the game, right?
And I just don't think he's like shown enough on the basketball court to say that like he can play huge playoff minutes either. Like, and so I think that's actually in some ways a good example of the guy I don't want to bring back in. I know why he did it because like he's a guy, he's a seller, and it makes sense. And there's like a good chance he does get traded because there's certain teams that for sure should probably take a risk on him. So I think it's like good to discuss him. It's if you said like they can't do this because they'll be over the apron. But if you were like, you can get Eric Gordon and like pieces or something like that. Now, I don't think they need Eric Gordon. So that's not, I don't want them to trade for Eric Gordon, but Eric Gordon, I like know what I'm getting. I'm like, can Eric Gordon be on a basketball court in like crunch time playoff minutes? Definitely. We've seen it. Like he did it.
Well, that's a really good point too, because proving commodity, right? Because a lot of these guys you're talking about, it could be Christian Wood, and you look out across the market of who's being speculated about being traded.
I'll give you another one because he's getting thrown about. Like Domantas Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis is like, okay, is he good? Okay, he's fine. Like he's like all star-ish, you know? Do we know if Domantas Sabonis can play like huge playoff minutes and like stay on the court for long periods of time, like with his skill set?
Right.
Like
right.
you just don't know. And I'm sure at some point we'll have like the Domantas Sabonis question because he's a guy that's being floated out there. But like these would be the types of guys that I'd be like, oh man, it's such a risk because you just don't know. Like you just don't know if they can do it. And so that's where I'm just going to end up stopping on all these guys. And so I would not do that Christian Wood thing. I think that like he's way worse defensively than people realize. And so the other
interesting point that I'll make about this to kind of and to tie the bow on it, this is our toe in the water, friends. We're not going to give you the 5-team parlay that lands 6 different guys on 8 different rosters across the entire league, but it's worth fleshing it out, and hopefully it's instructive around what the Nets are really capable of doing or not doing. And the interesting point is when you've seen some of the injuries and the guys coming in and out of the lineup, it's like right now, in the absence of Kevin Durant, this team has actually leaned smaller, right? They've gone with more shooters and quicker and able to get on the court with Kyrie right now. Like fundamentally, we said this last year too. It was like, oh, you know, the Nets, who's the big? Who's going to do that? The Nets sometimes philosophically seem to go against the grain on what you think they need to accomplish. And a lot of that comes down to having these superstars on the court and having that success, so, you know, having that spacing, that easy flow for these other players. So in that vein, I have not seen the Brooklyn Nets be a team that is a reactionary. So it'd be hard for me to think that whether it's the Kevin Durant injury, whether it's the performance from Joe Harris last year, which by the way, take it for whatever you want. They immediately came out after and were like, we're not worried about Joe. Like, you know, that was the first thing that they said this offseason was don't worry about Joe. He's not going anywhere. So I think that steady as it goes course is all predicated on the idea. We believe in what we constructed at the start of the year. And there's no reason, because of some bumps in the road, as substantial as they've been, to think that our process was bad. That would be, I think, what they'd be admitting here if they made big moves or big swings, that something we intended to work is not going to work. And for the most part, all these pieces do, it's just a matter of them all getting out there together.
Yeah, the way you upgrade it right now is you just get everyone back healthy. Like, that's the upgrade. Like, that's kind of it. Like, that's how. Now, with that being said, hear me out on this one. I got a 6-teamer for you. Ready? Follow along. We're going to do the Kings.
hold on. Just real quick.
I'm just kidding.
This is going to be the sweetest moment of my life if Doug was like, now I got a bit of a whopper.
All right, follow me here. We're gonna get deep into this thing. It's 18 players. Okay, no, we're going to get out of here.
With LeBron and Ben Simmons on Brooklyn, and we don't sacrifice any of the stars.
You'll see how we get there. You're going to have to follow along, though. Get out paper and pencil. Okay, we're going to get out of here. Reminder that we're going to be Adam and I will be at the Laker game versus the Nets on the 25th. If anyone wants to reach out, you're going to be at the game. Hit us up. We'll try to figure out a way to come by and say hi. In the meantime, make sure you sign up for the YouTube channel. Again, always appreciate all of the comments over there. Tons of great ones once again today. Yeah, it was really appreciated. I'll put the link to the show notes to subscribe to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel.
And maybe this is the best thing to consider, friends, when you're looking around the league and trying to see what pieces would make your team better that you would like. Stop planting flowers in people's yards who are not going to water them. Unsubscribed quote, but a real thinker in my mind. Yours?
Oh, I'm thinking so hard about that one. One of the great American poets, unsubscribed. Yeah. We will be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.